Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are that what defile. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are trying to study the situation of Palestine when Jesus entered and walked there. We have gone through the political as well as the economic situation of Palestine in Jesus' time. Today we would like to focus our attention on the social situation. And immediately we notice that the society into which Jesus entered was a divided society. A society that was divided into various classes of people. People of various origin were considered as various classes. There were the Gentiles and semi-Gentiles, Jews who were totally pure. Apart from the rich and pure, foreigner or people of the land, there was one division that went through very seriously across the entire population. That division was based on a religious law concerning purity. The people of Israel were called to be God's people, a priestly people, a holy people. Again and again it was repeated in the law that "I am holy, so you also shall be holy." The people of Israel were called to be holy, serving a God who is holy. So the holiness of God has to be manifested through the holy life of the people of Israel. And the holiness was to be expressed through a life according to the law. And when it came to concrete expression of holiness and obedience to the law, emphasis was laid more on the external characteristics of this law. There was a law concerning sacrifices, objects to be sacrificed. Whatever is offered to God has to be pure, without blemish. The animals that was to be sacrificed should be according to the law, 1 year old and without blemish. If it has a spot on the skin, or if it is lame or blind, or has some kind of a defect of blemish, that object is not acceptable to God. So the object to be sacrificed has to be totally pure according to the law. Applying this to the people of God, on the one hand, the people asked to imitate the holiness of God, and on the other hand, become an object that is offered to God in sacrifice, it has to be without blemish. And so there came into existence the law of purity. There were many, very many laws in the Bible, especially in chapters 11 to 14 of the book of Leviticus. We have a lot of laws concerning purity or ritual purity. So based on these laws, the people were divided into two groups, either pure or impure, clean or unclean. As they divided the animals that were clean or unclean, according to the ritual law, so people also were divided into two classes, pure and impure. Those who are pure, to be totally pure, they should have pure blood in their veins. Pure blood in this sense that they should be the descendants of Abraham and Sarah without any other mixture of races. A person should be able to trace his or her origin to the patriarch Abraham. And there should be no mixture of other persons, other blood in this. So a person totally pure of blood and without any other legal blemish is a pure person, a person totally pure. And only such persons were allowed to officiate as priests. And only such Jews had total right, the fullness of right as the people of God. All the others who had some kind of a blemish in their life, in their body, were considered impure and they were of lesser importance in front of the law. So the totally pure priests and all the others are considered impure. Impurity can be of two types, impurity that is temporary or impurity that is lasting. A temporary impurity that lasts only for some time, for a day or a few days, were caused by various reasons. For example, if a person touches something ritually unclean. For example, a dead body. A person who touches a dead body is impure or unclean till the evening. Then he has to wash himself and then he will become clean. A person who walks on the road where a leper had walked or sits in a place where an unclean person had sat also becomes unclean. A person who walks over a tomb even unknowingly, not knowing that there are dead men's bones in the grave, in the tomb, a person who walks over a tomb also becomes unclean. So this is one very passing uncleanness. But there is always the danger that you become unclean without even knowing it. Another type of uncleanness lasts a bit longer. A person with a discharge from his or her body, a woman in her periods, or some time after the childbirth, remains unholy or impure. If she has given birth to a boy child, a baby boy, she will be unclean for 40 days. And if the child was a girl, she will be unclean for 80 days. I don't know why this difference between boy and girl, but that is the prescription in the Bible. A person can be unclean for such various reasons. But the time, the period of uncleanness is over, then she becomes clean. But of course, after childbirth, she has to offer the sacrifices and perform the purifying rites. Men can become unclean by bodily discharges. Sexual action is considered in itself as impure and making others impure, making the persons involved impure. So these are all external impurity, but considered very seriously, the person is impure and the person is considered a sinner. So this is a passing impurity. But there are other types of more lasting character, and this could be of various reasons. For example, the permanent impurity can be by reason of birth. By birth, a person becomes impure if he is born outside the people of God. So every person, all the persons, not Jews, are by birth impure, unclean. So the Gentiles, as they call them, all the Gentiles are by birth unclean. Whatever be their social status in the society, or economical status, or spiritual status, in the eyes of the Jew, every Gentile is impure. So also are the mixed race. For example, the Samaritans. The Samaritans are half Israel, half pagan. And the origin of the Samaritans, we have seen, it is 721, when Assyria invaded and destroyed Palestine, the northern kingdom Israel, and 10 tribes of Israel were deported, and foreigners or Gentiles were brought into this territory, and there had been mixed marriage between Israelites and Gentiles, and that mixed race that originated out of this mixed marriage, they are called Samaritans because the capital of the northern kingdom Israel was Samaria, and since this continued to be the center, the people of Samaria were called Samaritans. So in the time of Jesus, Samaritans were half Jews and they were also considered impure people. Another type of impurity comes from the birth out of wedlock. People born not out of a legally valid marriage, so bastards or children of illegal wedlock, illegal marriage, they were also considered impure. All these impure people by birth. Another reason, another source of becoming impure is the situation of health. For example, people can be permanently impure due to some defect, a handicap. For example, a person who is deaf or dumb or cannot hear or cannot see, a blind person, all these inborn defects makes a person impure. And mentally handicapped people, mentally retarded or mentally deranged, disturbed people, and people who are under demonic possession. Very often it was difficult to distinguish between demonic possession and mental illness, and all these people who are mentally ill or mentally retarded, they were all considered as possessed. Whatever be the situation, all those mentally unhealthy people were also considered impure. So another victims of incurable diseases like leprosy, they were also considered impure. Another reason for becoming impure is the profession. People needed various professions to live, and some of them were very important profession also. For example, the profession of a doctor, profession of a shepherd, all these were very important professions in the society, but many of these professions were considered as impure and making people unclean or impure. Generally speaking, a profession that demands a physical contact with another human body or allows the possibility of stealing or acquiring wealth disproportionately was considered an unclean or impure profession. Such professions were always considered impure. It's true that Abraham, the father of the nation, was a shepherd. But by the time of Jesus, shepherds were considered impure. Because it is said that a shepherd can never be honest. Shepherds were usually employees guarding the sheep of other persons. And there was always the tendency to steal, it is believed. So the shepherds were also considered as thieves. Jesus himself says sometimes, once, all those who came before me were thieves and robbers. So this is the general attitude concerning shepherds. Physicians, for example, because they had to touch the human body, and very often the doctors also charged more than what was justifiable and needed, so considered as thieves, the profession of the doctors was also something of impure. Another profession which the Jews considered impure is that of tax collector. Of course, he was either a government official, an official of the government of Herod or of the Romans, or as a person who got the right of collecting taxes, but because he collaborated with the foreign rulers and very often and most usually always collected or charged more than what that was demanded of him, that was allowed to him, so he was a thief. So because of these two reasons, the tax collectors were also considered impure. And above all, another profession, that of prostitution, was considered as impure profession. And very often, tax collectors and prostitutes were considered as the models of impurity. So these two groups were taken out as exceptionally impure people. Another group of people, very often more than half the entire humanity, I mean women, were all considered impure. Whatever be their origin, whether they are Jew or Gentile, Samaritan, bastard or not, women, by the very fact that they are women, were considered as impure. Besides their being impure at certain times in their lives, women had a lower status than that of a Gentile slave, it is said. Though it is not true in every situation, but as a whole, women were considered as inferior. They did not have the right to enter the temple where the Israelite men could go. They were not allowed to, they were restricted to certain area of the temple, certain area of the synagogue. They were not expected to obey all the positive commandments. They were supposed to not to do what the law forbade. So there was distinction. They could not testify in a court. They could not file a case against a woman in a against a man in a court. And they had no say in their marriage. The marriage was arranged between the bridegroom and the parents of the bride, or between the parents of the both bride and groom. The woman could never divorce her husband, while the husband could divorce his wife. So in various ways, the women were handicapped in the society. They were considered as of lesser worth. And it is said very often that there were rabbis who were praising the Lord every day in their morning prayer, thanking God for not having made him a Gentile or an animal or a woman. So the Gentiles and animals and women were all categorized, put in the same category. So this was a society into which Jesus came, where the vast majority of the people were considered as impure, unclean, and sinners. So the concept of sin is very important here. The physical blemish or physical impurity was considered as sin, a breaking of the law, and so the person who has such an impurity is considered a sin. So eating without washing the hands, touching something unclean, a person becomes unclean. And very often they were not even aware if they had contracted this uncleanness. Walking in the street, nobody knows whatever things he comes into contact with, what he touches, and the person whom he touches. And it's always liable that he contracts some kind of uncleanness. So there is always the danger that you offend God and break his law even without knowing it. It's a constant fear of offending God and breaking the law. And the so-called pure people, the holy Pharisees and the priests, had a contempt about these people, the people whom they called the Ham Aretz, the people of the land. The people of the land who know nothing. That's what we have in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 49. But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed. The context is this. The leaders of the Sanhedrin had sent out soldiers to arrest Jesus and bring him for trial to the Sanhedrin. But when they came back, they did not bring Jesus. And they asked, why did you not bring him? Because they said, nobody has spoken as this person does. So are you also misguided, misled? That is what the Pharisees ask him, verse 48, has any one of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed indeed. This crowd, the Am Haaretz, the people of the land, with despise, with contempt they looked upon. And they were considered, the Pharisees and the leaders considered these people as condemned, already condemned to hell. So what was the attitude of Jesus towards these people? Jesus did not accept this kind of distinction between the pure and the impure. For Jesus, every human being was a precious child of God. Whether he is a Gentile or a Jew, whether he is a Samaritan or a woman or a man or a slave, every human being is a child of God, in whose face Jesus saw the image of his Father. So that was the basic attitude of Jesus towards every human being. And he did not accept this law of impurity. There was times when he and his disciples were accused of not washing their hands properly. In fact, the passage I read at the beginning as a prayer concerning the purity of heart, that passage starts in the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, verse 1 and following. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So that was the Pharisaic tradition. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? So that was an accusation leveled against the disciples of Jesus, but the accusation was valid also for Jesus. That is where Jesus calls attention to the root of cleanliness or root of evil. And he tells them that what goes into the mouth does not defile a person. It's not what you touch, what you eat that makes you unholy, makes you a sinner. It's what comes from your heart. The heart is the seat of decision. The heart is the source of your decision, your will, your feelings. And that is where either you commit sin or you obey the law. So Jesus is calling attention to the source of the decision, and that is the heart. So by this attitude, he somehow dismisses the entire tradition built up so rigorously and so meticulously by centuries of hard work by the scribes and Pharisees. And now he comes and tells, all this is rubbish. Doesn't mean anything. You eat what you like and what you want. Because whatever you eat does not go into your heart, but it goes into your stomach and it is discharged into the sewer. So what makes you unclean and unholy is your evil thoughts and evil desires and evil decisions. So he is just shifting the emphasis and changing the entire scenario. And by this, he is somehow changing also the social structure. He makes it a point to touch and heal people who are unclean. The leper comes to Jesus trembling fearfully because he was not supposed to come and asks him, Master, if you wish, you can make me holy. You can make me whole. You can make me clean. And Jesus is not satisfied with saying, okay, I wish, be clean. He stretches out his hands and touches. Maybe he was embracing the leper, touching the leper. He makes it a point to touch the eyes of the blind, touch the ear of the deaf, touch the tongue of the dumb. So this healing touch brings health to the health and life to those who are sick. By this touching, he himself renders unclean according to the Pharisaic tradition. That seems to be the reason why once he could not enter the town, it is said. In the Gospel of Mark, after healing the temple, after cleansing the leper, Jesus could not enter publicly the town, it is said, because he had himself become unclean. So the attitude of Jesus towards the pure and impure was this. Purity comes from the heart and impurity also. So by this he was somehow undermining the entire social structure, and the leaders saw it too. For them he was a danger. He was a subversive. He was subverting the existing order of the society. First on the political order, then on the economical order, now on the social order. You see, on the religious order, how subversive Jesus' attitude was. He brings in something new, and the values of the kingdom are totally different from what the Pharisees had taught, what the lawyers had taught, and the people were told. Now we'll turn to the religious situation of Palestine, but that we'll do in our next reflection. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to tell us that we are all dear children of yours. Whatever be our origin, whatever be our physical condition, we are all loved by you tenderly and treasured by you. Thank you, Father, for this great revelation. Enable us to understand the depth of your love that reaches out to all those who are unclean or who are considered unclean and wants to cleanse them all. Father, enable us also to understand that the real purity and holiness resides not in the body but in the heart, not in what we touch or eat but what we think and desire and decide and do. The heart is the source of our decision, and it's there you reside, and that's what you want to make holy. Blessed are the pure of heart, your Son said, because they shall see God. Father, enable us to see your face, and for that purify our hearts by sending your Spirit into our hearts, washing us with the blood of your Son. Jesus, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.